Good morning. You're listening to After Deadline. I'm Nancy McCarthy. I'm a reporter for the Daily Astorian, and we are on Coast Community Radio. Today we're going to talk about the Hood to Coast Relay. It's an event that happens every year, and definitely about this time. It's August 25th this year. It goes from Mount Hood to Seaside. And you will see lots of runners in your community, I'm sure, this year. Today we're talking to Jude Huber, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Public Relations for the Hood to Coast Relay. We're also talking to Nancy Frederick. She's the team captain of the Dirty Running Hot Dogs. And we are also listening to Steve Mills, who is he's on the Coast Guard team. He's a member of the Coast Guard team. So let's start today with Jude. Tell me a little bit about the history of Hood to Coast.
Sure. First, thanks for having us on. This is awesome. This is our 31st year this year, and it all started 1982. Bob Foote, a few other crazy people. There were eight teams of, I believe, 10 then. And they said, we should try something new instead of just running by ourselves. And they went up there. I think they started on a full moon, maybe, and just said, go. And
naturally, it was a full moon, right?
Exactly, yep. And then the next year, it was 64 teams, and then the 150 teams. And it was all word of mouth, no advertising or anything. And then now it is what it is today, where it sells out in one day, 10 months before, and 50% chance of getting in, all those crazy things.
How many teams do you have?
So the OfficeMax Hood to Coast Relay has 1,050 teams. The LifeMap Portland to Coast Walk Relay has 400 teams. And the Muscle Milk High School Challenge Relay has 50 teams. And they're all teams of 12.
So it's actually three relays in one, is
that
right?
Yeah, and they all finish together, but two of them start in Portland, the high school kids and the walkers.
And the others start, the runners then start it at Mount Hood.
At Mount Hood, exactly. Oh. And they start, there's waves they stagger every 15 minutes. There's one wave might be 50 teams, another wave might be 30 teams. And they start at 6:30 in the morning, and every 15 minutes till 6:45 at night.
Oh, my gosh. And how many relays does each person do on the team?
So everybody runs three legs. If you have a 12-person team, because you might have an 8-person team, but if you have a 12-person team, you run three legs. And you have to run in the same order the entire time. So it's run a leg, and then 11 other people have to run after you, so you're in a little vehicle cramped up. And these guys can tell you a little better than me how miserable that is or how fun it is.
Well, tell me, Nancy, how long have you been on your team?
This is my second year. I am captain this year, really not by choice, but I'm glad that I am. I was appointed. Last year, I was just a runner. I have always wanted to do this, and being local, I was always disappointed that I couldn't get on a team, and then it fell into my lap last year, and I waited and waited, and I think I was probably the last runner to get on the team, and I was so excited, because I usually ride my bike from Warrington to Seaside to watch it. And it just gives me goosebumps. So when I got to do it, I was just so thankful. And the fact that it's right here where I live is awesome. Last year was different than this year, being just a runner. I got out of the car when they told me to run, and I ran. And it's a very fun, interesting journey. This year as captain, it's also been a learning experience for me. I think I should do it one more year because next year I'd have it right. it's been fun being a captain. The people on my team are different this year, and there's some people, again, that are just so grateful to get to do this. Until you've done it once, you have no clue what it's like, and it is fantastic fun.
How many people are on your team?
There are 12 of us, and you really feel like a team of six. There's two vans, six people in each van, and you really don't interact with the other six so much until you're at a transition area. So you see them for brief moments of time, then your vans are passing in the night, and you need communication with cell phone to know how to hook up and where they're at.
And there's about a third of the course with no cell phone coverage, so then we're relying on ham radio operators, or you need to be planning way in advance, saying we're going to be here in 4 hours, so make sure you're waiting for us. So that's where we have, for example, sorry to interrupt you, Nancy.
That's fine.
For example, there's a team this year coming in from Japan that plans on, technically they're supposed to win by 45 minutes, But we've seen that in the past where there's a team coming in, they're really fast runners, but if you don't know the area or mm-hmm. there's a language barrier or you know, you're used to using cell phones.
Or you have jet lag.
Jet lag, exactly. Yeah. It's pretty exciting. Right. So all of a sudden, the best athletes in the world maybe are competing with somebody who's not quite as good, but because they don't know the course, it makes it pretty dang fun.
Yeah. And Steve, tell us about your team.
Well, again, we have 12 folks on the team. This is our second year of running it. And as Nancy said, as a runner, this is one of the epitomes of a running event. Marathons, half marathons are fun, but doing something of this magnitude where you're running for 24 hours, somebody asked me, well, how do you train for it? And I said, well, you run 5 to 7 miles, then sit in a cramped position for another 5 hours. Then at some point, you go sleep on the sidewalk for 5 hours and just repeat that about 3 to 4 times. And that's how you train for Hood to Coast. Just having the camaraderie, having the kinship, the team that we were part of last year, and one of the issues with the Coast Guard is we transfer. Mm-hmm. We lose a third of our team. But the folks that I've seen throughout the year, we have this kinship of, oh, yeah, you were in our van last year, and you remember this when we had to wake you up at 2 a.m. and basically dress you and point you in the right direction, just say run. And so, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of heartache at the same time, though.
Well, heartache, huh? Why heartache?
When you get woken up at 2 a.m. and you're running in downtown Portland and you hope you're going the right way, when your muscles don't want to cooperate, when, again, you've been awake for 24 hours, the van starts to get a little dank and smelly after a bit.
Oh, touch and feel, yeah.
And you know, it's just, it's one of the, at one point, it's one of those things you have to gut through. And you ask yourself, well, why am I doing this? At what point did it stop being fun? And after about the second leg is when it stops being fun. And then when you run into Seaside with the team and people are cheering and yelling, and it's just it's a great feeling.
Didn't you say when you were running last year, you said, I'm not doing this again?
Oh, absolutely. Within as soon as we crossed the finish line, I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this ever again. And I say that for every race that I've done.
And then what made you sign up again?
Peer pressure.
Oh, yeah, just that.
my wife might say I have an addiction to running. I think I have a healthy dedication to it.
Healthy dedication.
It's one of those things that you just, unless you experience it, you can't understand the endorphins, the adrenaline, the closeness, the sense of accomplishment. Living in Oregon, and I'm moving to California soon, but when I first came to Oregon, all I heard about was Hood to Coast, and I thought, I want to do this. I had been in Oregon for about a month, and I went down to Seaside to just look around, and there were all these people. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I saw Hood to Coast, and I said, I've got to do this. And then the next year, we got a team, and I don't know that I'll fly back to do it next year, but that possibility always exists.
He says that now. He'll be here.
Yeah, that's probably right. Now, Jude, the teams don't automatically get into the relay. Actually, Nancy and Steve are probably pretty lucky to be able to participate. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So I think I said a little less than 50% of a chance to get in. So in October, on one day, we'll have a registration, and we still mail them in. And you mail in your registration. We wait about 2 weeks so they can come in from around the world. And then we do a lottery. So we just put them in a huge bin, and a person sits there and pulls one at a time. And we make sure we get one from all 50 states. And then this year we have 36 countries, I believe. And then you hate that because you're turning away a lot of people. But you saw last year we tried adding a few more because we thought, well, you don't want to turn people down year after year. But then with the traffic getting the congestion, things like that, we said, no, let's go back to 1,050.
So how many did you have last year? How many teams did you have?
1,250.
So you increased it by 150?
Last year it was by 250 teams.
Yeah. And what happened last year?
It was a whole bunch of things. So we actually did a lot of meetings, and it probably wasn't the extra teams, but at the same time we wanted to show that we were being proactive, so we took the teams back. But it was a lot of other things that, for example, we got up to the start line, and I don't know how early you started, both of you, but there was a hailstorm and a windstorm. We had a 3:30 a.m. wave all the way until about 6:30 a.m. So a lot of teams weren't showing up for their start times because they were thinking, oh, there's a lightning storm, it's not going to start. But we were having start waves. So all of a sudden, more teams are starting at the same time later in the day. And, well, teams start, you saw what happened, and teams get bunched up.
Gets glutted at various points, yeah.
Right. And we like to think we're super smart, but I mean, the people that put it together, but at the same time, the roads are only so wide, so we can plan all year long, and then you can only fit so many cars on a skinny little road.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of confusion, and a few people who were pretty critical about it, I think.
Critical, but at the same time, really nice. We had so many people sending us emails. Yeah, they were critical, but they wanted to help. They had really good ideas, and we took them into account, and it worked out.
So has anything changed this year?
A lot of things. Exchange points have changed. We're trying to do a lot more, this is getting technical, kind of boring, but right turns into exchanges so you're not crossing traffic where you're backing things up. A lot of different positions have been made so that different people are in charge of different things. There's been other things. I'm not the smart guy to talk about it.
So it's going to smooth out a little bit
I always say knock on wood. But absolutely. Yeah. We've had so many meetings about it, and it's pretty exciting.
That's great. Anything, either Steve or Nancy, that you have changed in maybe your own personal perspective of the or training for the relay this year? Has anything in for your teams or yourself? Are you doing things differently?
Last year, because I was the last team member selected, I just happened to be in good shape. I had done the Ironman in June, and I was just ready to go. This year, I keep busy all year. So it's not a real big deal to go run the three legs. And like Steve was saying, it's not so much the distance of each leg or even the total distance. The thing that you don't know until you do it is you do go run. You might be running in, last year there was some extremely hot weather. You might be really hot and dehydrated. And then you go sit in this little hole on top of everybody's old clothes in this van. And all you want to do is stretch out and you can't. So you don't realize until you get up on that second run, you go, whoa. You know, what's going on here? Like, your body doesn't want to move. And then you get so tired just from lack of sleep. So training for the actual running part, I'm ready. I don't think I've done anything real special. I just run a lot. But preparing for what you experience in the van, I'm just aware of it this year. I'll probably, I don't know, bring more change of clothes and a towel. I don't know. Those are the things that I didn't know about. And I'm going to bring a sleeping pad because I slept on wet grass in the middle of the night.
You make it sound so inviting.
I did not care if the grass was wet. I would have slept in a mud pit at that point. I was tired when we got to the sleeping field. And you can't sleep anywhere you want. You get to certain spots and they're the places that the teams can get out and actually sleep. And at that point, that was before my third leg, I didn't care. I did not care where I slept. So those are the things that will be different for me this year in preparation. I will be aware of them.
What about you, Steve? What's going to be different this year?
Last year we started at, I think, 5:30 or 5:45, so it was pretty late. And one of the disappointing factors for me was I'm used to races. I did Chicago Marathon twice, where you have 45,000 people, and it's just the crowd energy. And so as I'm running along, it's kind of like I'm just running by myself. I'm part of this 1,000-plus team event, but it's just me out there. And so that was a little disappointing. I was hoping to have a little bit more crowd interaction. This year, we're starting at 6:45 in the morning.
Oh, you're going to have some interaction.
So it's going to be a lot different, I think. And, you know, logistically, we were fine. I mean, you know, being in the Coast Guard, you know, we planned for stuff. And I think we overplanned, and we just had, we didn't have a tent, but, you know, we had air mattresses and sleeping bags and coolers and all the igloo stuff.
Nancy wasn't part of your team.
Yeah, it was, we may have been a little overprepared. And training-wise, you know, I think my legs totaled 17 miles, which... I'm always training for a marathon, and so I look at Hood to Coast as a training event. And, you know, that last leg is important because now I'm tired, and it's almost like the last 6 miles of a marathon, I've hit the wall, my legs don't want to go on, and now it's just, you know, making myself do that.
But once you hit Seaside, I would think then your energy would come back to some degree because of so many people being there and all the excitement and the cheering going on and everything.
It does. It comes up a little bit. I was in the first van, so I think we finished our leg, you know, I forget, leg 20.
Like, you'd have been leg 30. And
leg
gone.
30, and so we got in the van, and then we waited in the traffic. And fortunately, one of our team members lives in Seaside, not far from the beach. And so we went to that house and staged there. And then when our second van came in, that's when we walked down. So it was kind of nice. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit of a respite. But I was just so exhausted. You know, at that point, the crowd could have just been roaring for me. And I'm like, get me, I'm done. And I had to go back to Portland to catch a flight at 6 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And so
it was a long
that's
long
why
weekend.
I said never again. Yeah,
I bet.
Well, you're listening to Nancy McCarthy of the Daily Astorian. This is After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. Today we are talking to Jude Huber, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Public Relations for the Hood to Coast Relay. We're also talking to Nancy Frederick, who is the team captain of the, shall we say it again, Dirty Running Hot Dogs, and Nancy is from Warrenton. Steve Mills represents the Coast Guard team, and he is also from Warrenton. I wanted to ask you, I understand that there's a lot of money that's raised from the Hood to Coast for various organizations. Yeah. Can you talk about that, Jude?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's the Hood to Coast Relay itself, we're a for-profit company, we're a business, so that's what we do for a living all year long. And then we've built it so we're a platform for the American Cancer Society. So our employees all year long are working with the American Cancer Society to build this platform, website, in person, race weekend. And last year, through participants, the race, and sponsors, $517,000 was raised. Huh. So it's the second largest determination program in the country. Hmm. The Chicago Marathon you mentioned is number one. And then this year, I think the goal is $550,000.
Wow.
And I looked one time, and I apologize, I don't have the number, but just to see how many people in Clatsop County were touched by the American Cancer Society, have come in and helped. And it's a lot of people. It was really surprising. You know, so you think you're raising all this money, where does it go? Well, it actually, if you look at how many people in Clatsop County have been helped by the American Cancer Society, it's a lot of people. It's pretty cool.
Well, and it also benefits local organizations other than the Cancer Society and some cities. I know Seaside gets,
yeah,
I think, at least $17,000
yep,
a year.
It is $17,000.
And that goes toward the parks in Seaside.
Yeah, I think that's where you and I met the first time, was at a dedication
Might
to a park.
Might have been, yeah. Yep.
Right. So there's been different projects like that. The Chamber of Commerce with the beer garden. That's pretty cool.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know how much money it is, but a lot of money coming in for the beer garden.
Yeah.
And then there's, I think there's 10 on fundraisers along the course for different. So you have the Jewel School. You have a bunch of churches along the way. The Lewis and Clark Cal Ripken Baseball Association. A bunch of just little things that you wouldn't expect that they are able to maybe make their year's budget off of one weekend. That's pretty cool.
That's really nice to be able to do that. And I know Seaside has been receiving funds for the parks for quite a few years,
yeah,
and has been able to really do some improvements in those parks. And Bob Foote comes to the city council meetings every year and gives out the check, and everybody's really happy.
And then his daughter Felicia is the race director now, so now she gets to come do it. Bob tells a story. She was 3 months old at the first race, so she's been to every one of them.
Oh, my
gosh. So now she's taken that over and kind of coming to all the meetings.
Wow.
It's kind of exciting.
Shows you how much it's grown. Why the Cancer Society? Can you tell me?
Yeah, because Bob has melanoma. He's had melanoma. So now he has skin cancers removed every few months. And so the melanoma, they haven't been melanoma for a while. And he says that without the American Cancer Society, he wouldn't have lived through what he went through because of the money that they've put into research is why he was able to live. So I think that was kind of the wake-up call of there's something I can do with this. So for the last, I think, 10 years is how the push for the American Cancer Society.
Wow. Nancy, when you first started talking about the relay, you talked about how excited you were and how much you really wanted to be in it. What is that pull? Why do people want to be in this race so much?
Well, first of all, I'm totally geared that way. So when I see something or hear of something that's that big in magnitude, I want to go do it. And the fact that I got to visually see it with my eyes, the second I saw it, I thought, oh my gosh, I need to be part of that. It is hard to get in. I had a friend move here. She just moved to Rhode Island, and she got on the team before I did. And she honestly knew more about it than I did because she'd heard about it from far away. And when she got on the team, she Facebooked everybody and said, I'm on the mother of all relays. And everybody knew what it was. And she's not even from here. And I thought, darn, you know, how'd you get on it? And I didn't. And then shortly after that, I got on it. But it's something that you, if you're involved in running or sports or endurance events, it's just something that once you hear about it, you want to be part of it because it is incredibly spectacular when you think about, I think it's 199 miles. Mm-hmm. That's a long ways, and that you're covering it by foot. And all of the work it requires to set it up, number one, and then to participate in covering that ground, there's just really nothing else like it. There are a lot of other relays now that I have friends talk about and they're doing, but I think that Hood to Coast will always be the one that everybody compares those other relays to. And I think it was probably the first. So it's kind of a bit of running history going on here. And I, you know, who wouldn't want to do that? If you're a runner, you'd want to do that.
Well, and then you talk about the misery of it, you know, during the race. Mm-hmm. But what is it that you get out? I mean, is there any euphoria that you feel after the race?
Yes. And there again, I think that anybody that's a runner or an endurance athlete, you live for that feeling. It's awesome. It just lifts your spirits and makes it all worthwhile. And this might may sound a little twisted. However, being a mother and having given birth twice, you know, people say if you give birth once, why would you go through that mm-hmm. again? I think that way about when I did the Ironman or half irons or marathons or this Hood to Coast. You finish and you think, what did I do? It's like you can't even sit down. Your body is too tired to bend. And you think, you tell your friends, don't ever, ever let me do this again. And my friends will attest to this. And then like the next day you think, ah, that was kind of fun. And then a week later you're thinking, I need to sign up. Like, I need to do that again. It's just something so fantastic.
One thing, you do have two really good athletes that are here. And I hope listeners don't think you have to be these amazing, just because we have these two good athletes. Because we have people, I talked to a guy last week, he's lost 109 pounds to compete this year. Wow. So, and we have world class, we've had Olympians, and we've had folks like sitting with us here. But you can also be a walker that just feels like getting out there and walking at 15, 16, 17 minute pace.
You know, and that's interesting, you bring that up, and I appreciate the compliment of being an athlete, although I don't consider myself one. But for me, running is a gift. When I was a child at five, I was stricken with Perthes disease, and I couldn't walk for 5 years.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was in a wheelchair. And so every time I run, even though sometimes I complain about it and I grumble when it's raining, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate the fact that whether it's Hood to Coast or a half marathon or just a 5K run or running down on the waterfront, it's just it's an absolute gift to me.
So, Steve, I wanted to ask you, what do you get out of it besides that gift? Do you get that euphoria? Do you, besides wondering what the heck you're doing in the middle of Portland in the middle of the night, wondering where you're going, do you get any kind of a euphoria to keep you going?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And as a goal-oriented person, the sense of accomplishment is huge. And you know, having my background and not being able to do something, and now Hood to Coast is a it's something doable. It's not this overwhelming obstacle in front of me. And while it's tough, I'm convinced anyone can run. Anyone mm-hmm. can get out there and do it. You know, if I was in a wheelchair for 5 years, then at some point, you know, you just have to be able to get up and do that.
We have wheelchair athletes that participate. We have a Wounded Warriors team that comes in. Mm-hmm. And
so could you tell me a little bit more about the other teams that you do have? You talk about the walkers and the...
Yep, so we have, of the 400 in the walkers, I hope that no one thought, oh, just because I mentioned a slower pace, we also have competitive walkers. I mean, they're probably more competitive than the runners, which is pretty cool to see. I mentioned that team from Japan that comes in. So we have, it's so diverse with people speaking all these different languages on the course. We have a sight impaired team, a hearing impaired team. So many fun, you mentioned you were in a wheelchair for 5 years. Sometimes mm-hmm. people would raise, you know, we have the American Cancer Society, but also people maybe would raise money for something like that. It's just a way. We have a team of African-American women from Portland who want to get out and say, to show their community, it's okay to go out and walk in the neighborhood and let's get in shape. So you have all these different groups coming together mm-hmm. for this single goal. And then the best part about it is you're out there in the middle of the night and an Olympic athlete just comes screaming by you. It's just the coolest thing.
So it sounds like it's a race for every or a relay for everybody.
Absolutely.
It's well not said, just yep. the competitive runners yep. or mm-hmm. the people with something to prove, yep. but for something for everybody. And at the very end, in Seaside, it ends in a festival, right?
Yeah, we're going to have the fireworks display again this year, and we let the community members come down and support it and have a great time. And speaking of community members, I don't get to say this often, get on radio programs locally, but we're so lucky to come through the communities we do. There's fans along the way. I mean, the engineer today said he was a ham radio operator on the course for 7 years. And we're just so lucky to have the people that we do and the support that we have. So if you're listening today, thank you.
Yeah, because it can be kind of crazy for people who are driving or for who live right next to it or have businesses next to it. It's a kind of a crazy weekend for everybody. So it is nice that they do put up with it for a year.
Absolutely. Again, I'll say they're the best.
That's great. Any of you, either one of you very quickly have any funny stories to tell about your experience?
Yeah, I typically go through the five stages of grief when I start to run. You know, denial, why am I doing this, anger, I can't believe I'm doing this, depression, bargaining, dear God, you know, I promise I'll never do this again, and then finally acceptance. And, you know, my mantra is simply keep running.
Keep running.
That's what I sign my emails with, I have a blog called Keep Running. And so that's cool. That's what I encourage people to do.
So that's your motto then?
It is.
Keep running.
It is, absolutely.
Nancy, what about you?
The thing that would stick in every member of our van's head from last year, and it might not sound like a big deal, but we forgot to rent a van last year.
Oh, that's a huge
deal. And trust me, there were no vans in Oregon or Washington left. So we had a friend of a friend of a friend loan us a minivan with a door that didn't work. So if we accidentally bumped it or opened, the dinger went off nonstop. So our whole fear on this trip was, don't touch the door. And we made it the whole time until our last leg, and somebody touched the door. So that you know, we all talk about the door and the minivan. This year we have an 8-person van. We're excited.
Well, a lot of people will talk about the wall when they run, but now you talk about the door. Great. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining me today to talk about the Hood to Coast Relay. It is August 25th, is that right?
24th and 25th.
24th and 25th. You will see thousands of people congregating in Seaside to cheer these runners on. And I just want to say that I want to thank Jude Hubber and Steve Mills and Nancy Frederick for joining me today, and keep running.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.